Let's open together to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. And our subject today is sanctification. Sanctification. We've been looking at the different doctrines, and according to the London Baptist Confession, today we are on chapter 13. We won't go through it in detail, but we will just touch on some truths of sanctification. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And this word fornication is in the King James, and it means all uncleanliness, all forms of harlotry, but it also symbolizes all forms of idolatry. So we'll see in modern translations, for example, we'll see it speaks only of sexual immorality, but it's including idolatry, symbolizing idolatry as well. As I mentioned, our subject is sanctification. And in the confession, one of the proof texts is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And I think we should read it. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. And we see here that we too, we know that scripture is not only to the people to whom it was written, it is written for us as well. And we too are commended to God and his word and the word of his grace. God saved us. Grace saved us. And the word of God builds us up and gives us an inheritance among them which are sanctified, who are set apart. Sanctified means set apart by his divine grace. So we who have been sanctified are the ones, the set apart ones, the ones that divine grace has distinguished from the others. And it's a sovereign act of God's love. And it's for his enjoyment and it's for his blessing, but it's also a great blessing unto us. So now as we begin to talk about sanctification, let me give you a simple definition. It means to make something holy, to make something holy and special for a good purpose. Now, we'll just touch on this a little bit. Theologians distinguish between definitively sanctified and progressively sanctified. Well, definitively sanctified, to break it down and make it very simple, it simply means how God views you, your position before God, how God sees you. And we are joined to Christ. We are therefore seen as perfectly holy because he is holy. So definitive sanctification is positional. It is how Christ sees us. He sees us as forgiven. He sees us as washed, as pardoned. It's about our status before God. We are washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. But the theologians also talk about progressive sanctification. This simply means ongoing sanctification, where believers actually grow, actually develop visible, tangible holiness, which actually continues our whole life. right up until the point where we meet our Savior face to face. So we see it in Scripture. We grow from faith to faith. We grow from grace to grace. None of us have arrived yet. None of us can say that we are altogether holy. None of us. So when anybody is sanctified, it means that they are set apart from the world, set apart from sin, and dedicated to serving God. They are strangers, and they are pilgrims, and they abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So we are saved by Christ. And if we have experienced saving grace, we will also be sanctified by Christ. We are built up by the word of his grace, and we must understand you cannot separate sanctification and salvation. Sanctification and salvation are one, and I'll explain that in a moment. So it would be a contradiction to say somebody is truly saved, but they are making absolutely no effort to live a righteous or a holy life. They're not attempting or desiring it. A truly saved one or sanctified one has this kind of mindset. I delight, O Lord, to do your will. I long. Your word is more precious than silver, more precious than gold, sweeter than honey. You see, to say I'm saved and not long to be a doer of the word, something is wrong. The saved one, the sanctified one, calls him Father and turns not away from his precepts. When somebody claims to be a Christian or says that they are saved, essentially they will begin progressive sanctification. Let me give you some background. Some years ago, there was a wrong teaching that spread in evangelical circles called carnal Christian doctrine. And it came about mostly because evangelism was not producing lasting effects. And people's lives, they were claiming to be Christians. Someone could be saved, but not really live a holy life. People once professed faith. They had once been baptized, especially when they were young, and they drifted away. They drifted away, and they no longer loved reading the Bible. They no longer went to church. They seldom prayed. They didn't care about their behavior or how they lived. And they gave these people the name. They are saved, but they're carnal Christians. Well, actually, there's no such thing. These people, in other words, they had a get out of hell free card, and they had a ticket to heaven card, but they had no living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were just still needed to come into that living relationship. But as we look at Scripture now together, we're going to see that Scripture challenges this view, this idea that you can be a carnal Christian. Scripture shows us that salvation and sanctification go hand in hand. If somebody is truly a Christian, truly saved, they will show signs of sanctification. There will be evidence that God is working in their lives. Sanctification doesn't save us, though. We are saved, but we know, by grace through faith. But we cannot be saved without experiencing sanctification. Neither can anyone be sanctified without being saved. I'm sure we all know people. They're good people. They don't swear. They don't steal. They're not addicted to any drugs or anything. They're good people. And we say, well, man, you're a really good person. Are you a Christian? Oh, no, they say, no, not a Christian. So sanctification, just because you're living a sort of a good life, doesn't mean that you are saved. Sanctification and salvation go hand in hand. And sanctification means that we are set apart for God's purposes. It means that we are in the process of becoming holy. And these people that claim to be Christians and are not in the process of becoming holy, we read earlier about how Paul says that believers are built up. They are given an inheritance among the sanctified. So Paul recognizes that believers are not only saved, but believers are transformed and built up, sanctified. To be sanctified, we must be joined to Christ. Only in Christ we become new creations. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this newness is not only in part, it's our whole life. It's everything. It's our family life, our business life, our entertainment that we partake in. Now, without dwelling there, I want to move on. Sanctification has two sides. It has a negative side and it has a positive side. The negative side is what the Bible calls mortification. Mortification is the negative part of sanctification. And really, all this means is putting sin to death. Putting sin to death. It's a process of removing sinful desires and habits. Sin is like compared to things that spoil or corrupt, like yeast that sours a whole batch of dough, or leprosy that defiles the whole body. And sanctification works like a cleansing process. It gets rid of the old yeast, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Now, let me just add this in. How do I mortify the deeds of the flesh? Well, without this can be a whole message. But I see a weakness. I realize a weakness in my own life. Maybe anger, speaking harsh and cutting words to people, or maybe gossip. And what do? I go to the Lord in prayer. I ask Him for help. Lord, I don't want to be like this. This is shameful behavior. Forgive me. I look at the scriptures and I feed upon the promises of God. I immerse myself in the scripture. I look to the Holy Spirit. I ask Him for help to resist this bad habit, this wrong talking, this wrong behavior. And then I do practical things. I don't place myself in a position where I know I will be tempted. I stay away as much as I can from that weakness that I have. I want to see it put to death. And when I'm about to fall into it, I shoot up an emergency prayer to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I need your help. I ask you to strengthen me. I don't want this in my life anymore. I want to be free of it. You see, we put off that old behavior. I acknowledge I need His help. I acknowledge I need His quickening. And the quickening or the vivification is the positive part of sanctification. the transforming part of sanctification that brings spiritual growth and renewal. And the Bible calls it the renewing of the mind. Romans 12:2. Sharing in God's nature. For example, in the Old Testament, the priests were not only washed clean at the laver, but they were dressed in garments of glory and beauty. And in the same way, sanctification doesn't just clean us from sin, it also makes us spiritually beautiful, clothes us with the beauty of holiness. So sanctification is a work of grace. It changes the heart, and it makes us in step with God's will. A sanctified person doesn't just have God's name. They don't just greet you and say, I'm a Christian. My name is John Smith and I am a Christian. No, the image of God is stamped upon them. You look at their lives and you see Christ Jesus in them. You see the fruit of the Spirit in them. You see an integrity in them. You see a holiness in them. And this is the kind of people that are pleasing to the Lord. And this is the kind of people that we all want to be. Sanctification, or this growth, is supernatural and it's divinely infused. And I took a lot of these notes from one of the old Puritan books by Thomas Watson. It's called The Body of Divinity, and he pens it in such a beautiful way. I'll just read it to you. For we are naturally sinful, and to cleanse us, God alone has the power. I, the Lord, which sanctify you, am holy. Weeds grow by themselves. Flowers are planted. Sanctification is the flower of the Spirit's planting. Therefore, it is called the sanctification of the Spirit. Oh, may God plant those flowers in my life. May those weeds be pulled out of my life. May I live separate. May I be harmless, undefiled, separate from sin, separate from the world. Now, as I mentioned, sanctification is progressive. It's something that grows over time, increasing and ripening in our lives. It means that even people who are in the process of sanctification can still grow and become more like the Lord, more holy, more righteous, more upright. Remember, we saw a couple of weeks ago, as 2 weeks ago, in fact, as we were talking about justification, we saw that a believer is justified and cannot be more justified. There are no degrees of justification. You're either justified or you're not justified. But when you are sanctified, there are degrees of sanctification. It's like the sun, which rises in the morning. It grows brighter and brighter as the day goes on. Knowledge increases in sanctification. Faith increases in sanctification. Assurance increases. A Christian grows into the image of God. You see, let me say it this way. We are not on the same level as the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is growing into God's image. Jesus Christ has the Spirit without measure. You cannot say, oh, Lord Jesus, you need to get more holy. No, he's altogether holy. He is holy. But you and I are different. We are growing. We are not altogether holy. It is a process. We are developing. We are growing. And there will be evidences. There will be marks of sanctification. And those who are sanctified by the Spirit will testify of a time when they once walked in darkness. They will know, I used to be like that. I used to walk like that. I used to be very impatient, but God has begun to work in my life. I'm no longer so impatient like I used to be when I was young. So there's a time, there is a definite time where we once were, we didn't have the blossom, we didn't have the fruit of sanctification, we were lifeless, we were dry, but now our lives bud and they blossom and they produce buds like Aaron's rod produced almonds. The visible fruit is evidence of our salvation. The visible fruit in our life is evidence that we are truly saved. And the way we talk, the way we walk is affected. The way we conduct business is affected. The way we even think is affected. And how we spend our time, how we use our resources and consume our energies. To say that we are saved and sanctified with no evidence, with evidence that cannot be seen, is absolute nonsense. And I like the way the old preacher J.C. Ryle says it. A saint in whom nothing can be seen but worldliness and sin is a kind of a monster that the Bible does not recognize. Well, I want to be recognized by my Father, by the Holy Scriptures. And one of the things that comes when we begin to progressively be sanctified is a hatred, a holy hatred for sin. And one of the clear proofs, it's a clear proof, it's Psalm 119 and verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. This hatred is not superficial. It's not outward only. It's not that I've just got high moral standards. It's rooted and it springs from a new heart. A hypocrite, for example, may abandon his sins outwardly, just the same as a snake may abandon its skin outwardly, but still keeps its poison and its fangs. No, we abandon sin completely. A hypocrite is not what we are. We are a truly sanctified believer, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, forsakes sin and loathes sin, wants no part in sin. Now, I remember I used to do a lot of evangelism in the open air, and I would often tell a story, and I thought I should tell it today as well, about a pig and a lamb, a sheep. Well, these two animals were on the farm and they were walking down the path together, and the sheep fell into a huge puddle of water, a pool, was distressed, jumped out of the water, shook itself off. Oh, I can't bear that. I got to get this water off me. But Mr. Pig fell into the water. Oh, into the mud. Began to roll around. Loved it. Enjoyed it. Didn't want to get out. You see the difference? Sanctified one like a sheep that hates water, hates sin, or the pig that loves sin and wallows in sin and enjoys it and doesn't want to get out. No, a sanctified one hates sin. and wants to get out of sin, doesn't stay in it till the last moment. Well, God has called us to live sanctified lives. And God has called us personally to be holy. He's called us to become increasingly more like Him. It's practical and it's progressive sanctification, which comes about not by my own efforts, but by two great means. And God uses the means of sanctification, the inward means of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, and the outward means of the Word of God. As we hear the Word, as we read the Word, inwardly, the Holy Spirit is working. Outwardly, we are hearing the Word. And the more we hear the Word, the more there's a possibility to change. I want to just mention three prayers. We see the work of the Spirit of God in the prayer of Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. And he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened through his Spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened through his Spirit in the inner man. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. So we pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen us and give us that resolve. And we are sanctified by the Spirit of God working in our hearts. Now, this change that takes place, if you step on the scale, you still weigh the same. If you look in the mirror, you still look the same. But there is a change that is taking place in our inner man, in our hearts, in the way we think, the way we behave, the way we act. And then the inward principle changes. There's the Word of God. And we see this in the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17, 17. The Lord prays and he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And God's word is like a mirror. If you look in the mirror and you see your spots, you see what needs changing, and you see how beautiful or how ugly you are. And you see that something needs to be done. The Word of God is a mirror that shows us our true condition. It never lies. And it creates within us a new desire. Not only does it show us, but it creates within us a desire to be like our Father. God shines into our minds by the Holy Spirit, and He grants us resolve to change. And then lastly, we see how David prayed, David the psalmist, and he cried to the Lord, and we too should make this our prayer. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Our prayer should be, let my heart be loyal. Let my heart, O Lord, be consecrated to you alone. Let me be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me be one who is always singing your praise, singing unto you, making melody in my heart unto you. Now, as I begin to close, people don't like the subject of sanctification. Most people don't like the subject of holiness. If you were to ask people, many different people, would you like to go to heaven? Oh yeah, they'd say, I really want to go to heaven. I hope I will go to heaven. And then you ask them another question. Would you like to live a holy life, a sanctified life? Well, I'm not that interested in that. You know, I enjoy my friends. We have a lot of good times together. I have a lot of worldly friends. I'm not too sure about that. But let me tell you something. In heaven, there are only holy people. There are no unholy people in heaven. And how will we be happy to spend eternity in a place where there's nobody like us, nobody that has the same values as us, only holy people, only people who live for the Lord Jesus Christ? So, yes, they want to go to heaven, but they don't realize that heaven is holy. And if they've got no time for holiness on earth, how are they going to endure to live in eternity in a place of holiness? They won't enjoy it because they are so unholy. No. Again, J.C. Ryle, I read this. He says it like this. He says, when the eagle is happy in an iron cage, when the sheep is happy in water, when the owl is happy in the blaze of the noonday sun, when the fish is happy on dry land, then, and not till then, will the unsanctified man be happy in heaven. No, a fish doesn't enjoy it on the dry land, and a sinner will not enjoy it in heaven. Only holy people will be in heaven. But more than that, only holy people shall see the Lord. Sanctification is a necessary process for those who would be inhabitants of heaven. I read you a Bible verse. Paul says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then likewise in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, the scripture says, follow peace, peace with all men, and holiness. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Well, we don't earn our way to heaven. We are saved by grace through faith. Yet it's still true that with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Hebrews 13:16. Another sacrifice with which God is well pleased is obey your parents. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Even if you are old and your parents are still alive, obey them, show honor to them. With this, the Lord is well-pleased. We do those things which are pleasing in His sight. The fruit of sanctification is always pleasing in the sight of God. To think that my actions, though, these actions and these fruits of sanctification can get me to heaven is a mistake. By the deeds of the law, no man is justified because Christ Jesus died for us. If you want to go to heaven, there's only one way you can go, and that is the perfect Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You must go to Him and bow your heart before Him, bow your knee before Him, and ask Him and come to Him. You see, there's certain things you've got to do for yourself. Oh, pray for me, Pastor, that I may go to heaven. No, I cannot pray for you. You have to come yourself to the Master. You have to acknowledge, I'm a sinner in need of salvation. I need to be cleansed. I need to be washed. I need to be born again. I'm sinful. Forgive me, Lord. You see, when you were young, you had to learn the alphabet yourself, your ABCs. Your mother loved you. Your father loved you. But they couldn't learn it for you. You had to learn it yourself. And it's the same with salvation. No one can do it for you. You have to come yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ and bow your knee before Him yourself and say, Lord, I'm in need of forgiveness. I'm in need of salvation. I ask you, wash me and cleanse me. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, do not harden your hearts. Respond to Him and say, Lord, I'm in need, and you will be born again. Amen. Let's close by singing. Well, this is something that we must all do, these words of this hymn. For those that are Christians, we make this our prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. For those that are not Christians, surrender your life to Jesus Christ today. When you go home, come before Him personally. Let's sing this hymn, closing together, and make it our prayer. Hymn 468.